Proverbs for the day, July 22nd, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Proverbs 22:11, July 22nd. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. And you know, many sayings are promises to draw us to pursue God and go after him. And this one is that way. And may it draw us in. May it draw you in. May it draw me in that I would want to be one of those people that would be so close to the king, I could be his friend. And I know we could try to apply this to earthly things, but this is a devotional time, and I'm going to apply it to our Lord and Savior. It'll apply to certain authorities, but I'm going to apply it to God. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Notice, if you would, please, the open invitation. The open invitation. He that. Well, the Lord opens it up. And he does make some ifs. He does. But he opens it up. Of course, there's criteria and conditions. Listen, everything in life is that way. You say salvation is unconditional. It's unconditional as far as there is no sinner God cannot save. It's unconditional that way. It's unconditional in there's no sinner God has not loved in the past enough to give his son. But it is conditional upon coming to Christ and repenting and turning to him. There's no works in that. There's no stumbling block in that. There's no danger in that. That would not be the Lord otherwise. So in this passage, he gives an open invitation. It's open. He that. It is open. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. See, the Bible is so simple. The Bible is so straightforward to the person who will receive it as it is. Are there some mysterious and mystical doctrines in it? Absolutely. Are there some mysterious prophetic utterances about the future? Absolutely. If there wasn't, it wouldn't be a mystical, mysterious, spiritual book. But the open invitation is he that. He that loveth pureness of heart. Okay? He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. There's the open invitation. There's the offer of royal favor. The offer of royal favor. And sometimes the earthly is a side benefit. The earthly favor with authority in your life, the earthly favor of some ruler in your life, and we see it in the Bible, we see it in church history. The offer of royal favor, and I'm talking here about our Savior and our God and our King. And the offer of royal favor is, if I will love pureness of heart, for the grace of my lips, the king shall be my friend. What would it be worth for the Lord God to be our friend? And I'm not talking about our errand boy. I'm not talking about waiting on us hand and foot. I'm talking about a real friend. You know, the old saying was, a friend in need is a friend indeed. In other words, when you've got a need, and someone's a friend, they're a friend indeed, and vice versa. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, I call you not servants, but what? Friends. The offer of royal favor. What a blessing. What a blessing if we would have that kind of relationship with the Lord, that he would be our friend. Now, he's still our Father. He's still our Lord. He's still our Master. He's still our shepherd. He's still our commander. He's all those things. Don't think that by him being our friend, that means those other things go away. No, he's still our chastener. He's still our corrector. He's still our captainer. Okay? He's still the one that has to do what correct us and those sort of things. And yet at the same time, it's coming from a friend, a royal friend. What a blessing that God would offer us his royal favor. And he does it through something that we can do, and that is choosing. He that loveth pureness of heart. I don't know where pureness of heart fits on your scale. But here he says we need to love it. And we know a lot about a man or woman, a boy or girl, by what they love or what they hate. And so, do you love pureness of heart? I don't know if you've ever sat down to eat and maybe go out to eat or something, and something, you know, the glass be dirty or the plate dirty or other things that could be distasteful. I think when it comes to eating, we'd like everything to be pure. Well, what about our heart? Can you take in certain things? Can you be around? So have you ever? It's not just while you're sitting in the pew at church, friend. It's not just while you're there on Wednesday night. It's throughout the day. Can you really take in certain things? Can I take in certain things and keep a pureness of heart? He that loveth pureness of heart. And so let's look at not just the open invitation and the offer of royal favor, but the operative truth. Here's the operative truth. Love pureness of heart for the grace of his lips. Loving pureness of heart is shown through our mouth then. One of the things that happens to us as men is we realize that there is something that happens if we keep our heart pure, and it happens to our mouth. See, that doesn't mean we don't speak out the truth boldly and strongly and forthrightly. But a lot of things pass away that came from our heart being not clean. A lot of words pass away. A lot of vocabulary pass away. A lot of attitudes pass away. See, the truth to pursue is this: he that loveth pureness of heart. If you go to buy something that has gold in it, you want it pure. If you got some water to drink, you'd like to have it pure. And so there are many, many, many instances, and perhaps one will come to your mind that matters to you, something that, you know, you're just conscious of making sure it's pure before you partake of it or use it or buy it. Well, that being the case, then pursue it with this way: he that loveth pureness of heart. Where is pureness of heart on our scale? I don't think you'll find a more noble, yet a more difficult pursuit. A more noble or difficult pursuit you will not find than loving pureness of heart. Now, there are other verses that go with it. They're worded differently. They're described differently. But, oh, how rewarding it would be before our King, the Lord God Almighty, if we would love pureness of heart so that the grace of our lips, for the grace of our lips, because of what comes out of our mouth, He'd be our friend. See, the open invitation is that I would love pureness of heart, it would affect my lips. And then the offer of royal favor is, I'll be your friend. The operative truth for you and I today is this: he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the King shall be his friend. Let's be practical. What about what you see? What about what we hear? What about what we listen to in the way of music? What about what we listen to in the way of debate, information, what we read? What about what you watch? You know, you got to be so careful as a believer letting stuff in, because the impureness is mixed in with so-called wholesomeness and pureness and things that just are innocuous. The poison is mixed in. It's carried by it. If a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and it does, well, then the pureness of our heart is in danger. You know why a Christian that is full of the Holy Spirit and trying to follow God and just loves pureness of heart, you know why they're marked as much by what they stay away from than by what they do? Is just because they love pureness. They don't want their heart to become impure. Now, we don't establish monasteries. We don't establish convents. We don't do that. We're not trying to do it by not going out and working or interacting with people or making visits. We don't do that. But at the same time, everything within our control, we need to control. Because he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the King shall be his friend. Wow, what a truth. The open invitation, the offer of royal favor, and the operative truth. And may God use it in our lives today.